Good morning and happy Monday. It's Jeff, just checking in here because Eric is still in Mexico. You can check out what he's been up to by going to his Instagram page. Just wanted to let you know today's podcast will be a special conversation between Eric and Tour Junkies, the Tour Junkies podcast. It's a really fun and entertaining interview. And stick around this Thursday because we have Andy Johnson from the Fried Egg Golf Podcast. So definitely check that out on Thursday and enjoy today's interview with Tour Junkies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another fantastic Tour Junkies guest interview podcast. I'm really excited about this next guest. This next guest, I have been following, Pat has been following for a few years now. It's probably been, I would say it was definitely before we started the podcast. So it's been over 3 years, maybe. We've wanted to have him on for a long time. We've met him a couple times, ran into him a couple times. Great dude. Interesting guy. Dropped out of high school, hated golf, started playing golf in his 30s, got addicted to golf in his 30s, became the host of Scratch TV's Adventures in Golf, hosts the Eric Anders Lang podcast and Eric Anders Lang YouTube channel. Obviously, by now, the guest on this week's podcast, Eric Anders Lang. What's up, man? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, I am really good. It's good to be introduced by the Tour Junkies. That is a solid, I'm just over here smiling, so that's a nice feeling.
You can check that off your list, man. I know it's fun as a podcaster to be on the other side of the interviewing at times. We've been interviewed on a couple of shows, and it's always great. So we appreciate you being on, and we're excited to pull out some really good content from you today. By the way, if you're not already following Eric on social media, it's at Eric Anders Lang. That's Eric with a K, Anders, A-N-D-E-R-S, Lang, L-A-N-G, on IG and Twitter. I will say, you know, Eric, you're kind of opposite of us. Your IG game is killer. Your Twitter game is almost non-existent. Our Twitter game is killer, and our IG game suffers a horrible slow death every day. As we add like a follower a week. So maybe offline we can share some tips on that.
Yeah.
But you guys
need
to be
followers.
Well, you know, you're just a visual guy. You know, like the stuff you put out is so visual. So I think it works on Instagram where nobody wants to see us or see the stuff we do. So it's just more, Twitter's more informational. So we can throw that out there. All right.
Right.
Let's get into this. So, Eric, I want to start off by talking to you a little bit about the podcast. The podcast is a relatively new thing for you in terms of, you know, some of the video stuff that you've done in the past, the documentary background that you have. But I love the podcast. It's so unique. It is a claim to be a podcast about golf, travel, comedy. But it is so interesting. So I bet we have a ton of listeners that have never listened to the show. So here's what I wanted to get you to do. I want you to fill in the blank to our listeners. If you like blank, then you should listen to the Eric Anders Lang podcast. Eric, fill in that blank.
Wow. If you like really difficult shots from the trees, to like tucked pins, if you look forward to those with like a smile, then you would love the Eric Anders Lang show.
Okay. You know what? That's actually true about me. Like I relish those moments. I'm in those moments a lot. So I get a lot of practice.
It's not an easy podcast to listen to. We go on tangents. I mostly talk with personalities and celebrities about golf, and we kind of meander everywhere. There's no editing, and you know, it's ultimately rooted in a love for the wonderfully difficult game that we've all found.
Love it. I think it's a great description. Like ours, you know, our listeners are used to unedited podcasts. So from a quality standpoint, I think they're good to that. They're probably also used to rambling and tangents. But yours are always very funny. They're informative. They're deep, which I think we're going to get into some of that today. Like it's a very interesting listen. And I think if you're a diehard golf nut, you can enjoy the Eric Anders Lang podcast. But I also think that if you're the wife of someone that's a diehard golf nut and you've never understood them, you can listen to that podcast and and enjoy it. In fact, my wife, I say that because my wife is that person. And we've talked about your podcast before, just some of the content that comes out. So it's a very different, it's a unique show, and I love listening to it, which is one reason why I wanted to have you on. So,
well, DB, that's like the nicest compliment anyone's ever given me. And I look forward to sort of stretching that across most things I do, because the idea is that, well, it's multiple, but it's like, one is like, how do new people get involved in golf? Well, I mean, it's on us to bring them into the fold as whether they're newcomers or non-golfers or whatever. And, you know, I mean, even still, it's like, why do golfers not love everything else about being a human on earth? You know, like, I mean, there are so many other great parts of being alive. Just because we love golf doesn't mean we don't love, like, you know, whatever it is we're talking about, whether it's having children or, you know, having a dog or watches or
making children. Yeah. That's usually the more rewarding part.
I've made so many kids. Okay, going on.
So of all those interviews, those interesting people that you've talked to, because like that's the other thing too, is like if you're telling somebody, okay, you know, golf podcast, sorry, of course you gotta name the Tour Junkies, but you know, No Laying Up, Foreplay by Barstool. Eric Anders Lang. If you look at the list of people who have been interviewed on all of those shows, it's a great game of one of these things is not like the other. And it's the Eric Anders Lang interview guest list, because you're like, who, you know, I see names all the time. I'm like, who the hell is this? Or sometimes I see names and I know who they are. And I'm like, why the hell are they on Eric's podcast? But it is because you bring these people into the fold, or they are in the fold, but nobody knows they're in the fold of like just golf nuts. Right. And you guys are talking golf. So it's a very different listen. It's very interesting. And of those people, what's your favorite moment or interview from your podcast so far?
Well, I think one of the biggest moments of the year could be when I was at Craig T. Nelson's house, who is obviously a close friend of mine and the lead in the show, Coach, the voice of Mr. Incredible, so many other things. Poltergeist, he in one breath basically taught me something about golf and athleticism and celebrity and personal life in my view of Tiger Woods, and this was in March or April. And basically I was saying that I had a problem with Tiger, right? Because I came to golf right around the time that Tiger got involved in the major scandal 7 years ago, and I struggled with getting on board, and Craig was basically like, that's none of your business. And, you know, he made a Tiger fan out of me, out of a guy who had basically judged him maybe inappropriately.
What has surprised you about doing a podcast or hosting it yourself or producing it? That, 'cause I mean, you weren't really in this game before. You weren't in radio. You didn't do pod. You were always camera, like video. What surprised you about it?
What surprised me is some people tell me that their favorite episodes are the ones without a guest, which is shocking to me, because I'm not a one-man show guy. I'm not a walk on stage and talk for an hour guy. But not only are those received well, I enjoy them, right? I feel like I'm actually, in the same way that a listener probably feels like I'm talking to them, I feel like we're having a conversation. And I actually feel bad when I don't have the time to do it, or like I've been struggling with a little bit of a sore throat the past week or two, and so I threw in a one that, you know, on Sunday or Monday, we do two a week, I threw in one that we had already recorded, and I missed that opportunity of the check-in. So to me, those are some of my favorite moments, is really connecting on a deeper level just with what's going on in my life, whether it's golf or travel or dogs or making children, all of these topics.
So, all right, I'm going to hit you with a couple of deep ones here, and then we're going to take another like a mental break, emotional break with Pat, and some funny, maybe some different type stuff. And by the way, shout out to Snowball, your lovely dog.
Definitely,
how's
shout
Snowball
out.
Doing?
He's on my lap right now, and he's really enjoying this interview.
We should ask Snowball a question. Snowball. If you were to give Eric any superpower, what superpower would you give him?
Oh, well, I can't respond in his typical German accent. I think he would give me the power to understand what on earth he's thinking, because he stares at me a lot and he really thinks that I know what he's thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember, David, last time you interviewed Snowball, you were using a fake mic. We're actually using real mics today.
So, yes, that's
at the
true.
TGA show. That was hilarious.
Yeah, we could count on Eric to catch us in the act of using a mic that was a dummy mic. Of all the people that we stuck that mic in their face, and, like, you grabbed it and immediately like, wait a minute, is this thing on? Is this thing even working? It's very light. Are there batteries in it? And I'm like, geez, man, no, it's fake. It's for the look. Like, just take it easy. All right, so here's the deep questions. How has golf changed your life? Another way of asking it, I thought about maybe an easier way of answering it for you is, had you never fallen in love with golf at 30, what do you think you would be doing?
Oh, man. I'm going to answer the first question.
Okay.
How has golf changed my life? I mean, there's two ways of answering it, right? The simple way is, it's pretty easy. In almost every dang corner of my life, it looks different. And I mean, you know, it looks different because when I drive down the road and I see a little bit of grass, mm-hmm. I turn my head.
Yep.
You know, to yep. look at the grass, to check that it might be a golf course, right? Mm-hmm. When I sit on the window seat of a plane, if there's no clouds, I will stare out that window to see if there is a golf course somewhere.
Yep.
It changed my life because when I walk around and I see a hat that looks like there might be a logo of a golfer, I consider saying hi to that person. You know, it's changed my life in the sense that you know, when you have a thought that makes you happy and you can't remember what that thought was?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then you're walking around, you're like, why am I happy? Oh, that's right. I just fill in the blank, something positive. That I have those moments a lot geared towards just general reality that I have somehow landed in a situation that is everything I wanted, yet nothing I could have asked for. which is to work in golf in a way that means something to me and apparently to other people. I was talking to someone yesterday who's 29, and she was saying that she was really upset about her life and how things were going. And I was like, just so you know, that when I was your age, I didn't even play golf at the time. And she laughed because it was a funny thing to think about, that my life literally spun around in ways that you couldn't plan. Right, as a person who didn't like golf to now a person who is 8 years later or 7 years later, the only content in my life that's valuable at this point is golf. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There is nothing I do outside of golf right now. And it may not be that way forever. I mean, certainly the history would say that it won't be, but what has golf done for me? I mean, it's given me something to do, which is in a sense all the humans on earth are looking for that. So that's tremendously valuable.
Eric, and you've shown this already, but I mean, you just seem like the nicest freaking guy on the planet. I mean, just the nicest guy. Although I will say this, we were talking beforehand about firing people, and you did say you liked to fire people. So I don't know, maybe this question is a little premature here, but I want to know, when was the last time you actually got mad at someone?
Yeah, I got mad at someone recently. Well, my golf clubs got stolen, and
oh yeah,
you know they were taken.
Do you know who stole them?
No, but I did look for them. I was in a parking lot, and I walked around, and I was very mad. I mean, anger is a funny emotion because it's not really anger; it's actually sadness. and we use anger because it's a bit easier to feel than sadness. So mm-hmm. yeah, and then this is true. Like there's no argument that would ever allow me to believe otherwise, and I'd be happy to debate it with anybody. But anger is just like a dog. When a dog barks, it's not because it's terrified. It's experiencing fear, and fear is usually whatever. I mean, we can go into an emotional debate, but I was mad that someone had taken my clubs, but I was only really mad for, I don't know, 3 minutes or so. And then I just realized, like, wow, whoever took those clubs doesn't know how to play golf, number one. I'm assuming. I mean, if they do, that's amazing. Second of all, they just, you know, because the golfer wouldn't steal. I would hope not. But anyway, that made me mad. What else did I get mad about?
Do you get mad on the golf course?
I got mad. No, not anymore. I used to years ago when I was trying to play better all the time. But now I just try to play better and have more fun, meaning play better. But I got mad. I got mad at a job situation recently. I felt dicked around for a while. And then ultimately, I got so mad that I actually said, the deal is off. And when they said, okay, then I got really mad.
yeah.
That was kind of funny. But to go back to firing people, here's the thing about that is I would never just fire someone out of the blue. I would fire them after trying to give them as much feedback as possible. And in a way, at that point, firing them is like a nice thing to do because yeah. they clearly aren't a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that. Have you ever been in a fight?
Like a physical fight?
Like a physical fight.
When I was younger, there was one time where I was making fun of someone behind their back and I didn't realize that they were literally standing right behind me. And, you know, I was a kid, I was an idiot. And basically he was like, "Are you talking about me?" And I was like, no. And then I think he punched me and then I kicked him and then it was over. That was really it. I was much more of like a make a joke and run away guy than a, you know, like I'm going to actually physically battle.
So obviously you live in LA. I'm going to keep with the physical theme here as opposed to the deep emotional theme that David had. If you could punch any celebrity in the face without consequence, who would that be?
I mean, probably The Rock, because I feel like he would just laugh.
You love The Rock, though. You're obsessed with The Rock.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like it would be a point of, like, connection with The Rock. Like, I would punch him and he would be like, "My brother." You know what I mean? I don't think I could punch anyone seriously at this point in my life. Even if I was paid to do it, I don't think I could do it. Like, I don't know, man. I mean, that would be a hard task. That'd be hard.
You also know you're a golfer, like, when – you know, you talked about earlier, like when you see a blade, you patch of grass and you wonder if it's a golf course, you look out the window. Cause I do all those things. I know Pat does too, but I've also been in some situations like verbal altercations or things going on. I was just talking to my son about this yesterday because they had a big fight in the lunchroom yesterday. So we were talking, it was a teaching moment about, you know, like when you feel tempted to slug somebody, like thinking through the consequences, but you also know you're a golfer when you're in that moment and all you can think about is, all right, if I punch him good and I sprain my wrist, how does that affect how many rounds of golf I get to play in the next 6 months? I've absolutely had that thought.
Yeah, that's a reality. That's a reality that every golfer must face. There's trade-off.
All right, let's get into some reads, everybody. Podcast ad read, Sun Skincare, Eric Anders Lang Show. Well, thank you, Jeff and Andrew, for setting that up so perfectly. Ad one. As you guys know, I spend a lot of time outside. That's true. From all my time outside, I've learned that the only negative can be the damage that the sun causes to your skin. Very true. Sizzles like bacon, even if you're vegan. That's why I use Sun. S-O-N-N-E. Sun was started by two guys, golfers, who were sick of making the choice between drugstore men's care products and expensive boutique fluff. Because, I mean, I'm not really into boutique fluff. Are you guys? What's going on? Are you into boutique fluff?
Not one bit.
No.
Big boutique.
Colt's super not into true, the boutique fluff. True. Check it out, yo. It is a doctor-developed skincare for men that is delivered straight to your door. I mean, I never leave the house, so that works really well for me. When I'm traveling around the course, Sun is the only product I trust to protect this beautiful skin from the sun. I mean, the truth is, it's actually not that beautiful. I have a couple. You get pimples on your back, guys? I got some fucking pimples on my back. I wish sun care could fix that. But luckily, my back doesn't get a lot of sun because I'm a golfer. Golf tans, anyone? How about that left hand just looking like an ice cube out there? You know? I like that. Sun is the only product I trust to protect these people against the sun. Sun damage is the number one numero uno. Eine in German. Eine, no, itchy in Japanese. What's one in German?
Eins.
Eins. The Eins cause of aging skin, and you will not find anything that defends UV rays better than Sun's SPF. Enriched with nutrients like red algae. Whoa, that sounds like it tastes bad. Vitamin C and vitamin E. Sun is made here in the USA, and like I've already said, is formulated to prevent sun damage and meant to reduce signs of past damage like wrinkles and redness. No gimmicks, no guesswork, no trip to the store necessary. Delivered right to your door. All right, so check it out. Go to www.suncare.com/Eric. SONNECARE.com/ERIK. Use the code Eric at checkout and try SunCare for $15 off. Do it, y'all. It actually smells pretty good, too. You know, it's all about the fragrance for me. It's got to be smell delicious. Someone should make, you know, I should talk to the sun care guys. I think they should make sun care that, like a skincare product that smells like chocolate.
Or bacon.
Bacon.
Edible sun care.
Edible? Like, what do you mean edible? Like, literally, you can eat it?
Off your skin.
You won't get your tongue won't get burned then when you eat that hot soup, you know, on a cold day. All right, all day. But yeah, whoa. I can't read, everybody. All right, everybody. The holidays are always a great time to literally boost your footwear game. You know I love the Boost. The Boost, by the way. Do we even know what Boost is? Boost, like, came from NASA. Google it. Prove me wrong. Tell me that there's something better than Boost, and I will literally block you. No, but there is nothing better than Boost. Like, Boost is the jam. Anyway, for the holidays, boost your footwear game and do yourself a favor. Hop over to adidas.com and click on the golf section. Could be a gift get a gift for someone else, y'all. But Adidas makes sure that you can't go wrong. And that's pretty true. Like, I can't find a pair of Adidas shoes that I don't like. Right now, I'm digging the Ryder Cup special editions, which obviously you can't get. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that to come out in a douchey way. It's just true. But that style, I actually can't think of the name of the style. I think it's the Tour 360. I love that shoe. It's the most comfortable shoe ever. I'll wear it by the beach. There's the new Addi Power Forged. Ooh, that's a slick shoe, actually. I did get a peek at that. That's on the website right now. Addi Power Forged. And, of course, my favorites. Joel knows my favorites when he writes this. The Tour 360 and the Tour 360 Knit. Tour 360, obviously, you're getting the waterproof full leather upper. Tour 360 Knit, a little more breathable, a little more fresh for the hipsters out there. But they both have all of that, you know, super grippy, sticky spikes, you know, soft spikes. Soft spikes. Don't forget the Addi Cross and Addi Pure. I love the Addi Pure. That is the Justin Rose style. That is the Addi Pure, basically, you can wear anywhere. You can wear it to a tea time or a date, and I promise you're going to get good looks. I hear there's also something new coming early next year, which I'm stoked about. I did hear that. I actually saw that. So watch out, folks. Get ready for that. So go to Adidas or follow Adidas Golf for all the latest news and info at Adidas Golf, ADIDASGOLF. Yeah, check it out. Get boosted for the holidays, y'all. Later.
Who in the golf world, you know, talking head, you know, or media player, pontificator, whatever you may say, just gets on your nerves, and why?
Well, I think for a long time, I didn't really like or understand Johnny Miller. I mean, he has a very negative, or had when he was working, he just had a very negative, just tone to his voice, which kind of got to me. Now I've come to see that, just like myself, he loves the game of golf. He suffers from the same problems that most people do, you know, but he loves golf and he knows a lot about it. And he's inspired by greatness, as we all are. So I've kind of come around to Johnny Miller. But in general, golf commentating is sort of in need of a wake up call. I know that people are trying out there. I don't know. I mean, in general, I hate when people are like, he really wants to put this close. Because I wasn't sure. Yeah, I just say so many things. But I'm sure I would be guilty of it, too, given that task.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, too. I do think golf needs definitely a boost when it comes to that side. I don't know what the answer is. I've always actually sort of been a little bit of a Johnny Miller fan. I kind of like how he tells it how it is. But like you say, he loves the game and, obviously was great in his career, even though he was a pretty cocky guy. But why do you think golf is so addictive? You know, why is there such thing as catching the golf bug, as they say?
I mean, there's a lot of reasons. Like golf is a very complicated beverage that is hard to make perfectly for any one person. But that's the great thing about golf is that it's individualized to each person. Every person can have the golf they want. They can construct their own golf beverage, whether it's going to the range a lot or whether it's they like to go to the golf store and just buy clubs and just look at clubs, or whether they watch golf on TV or whether they like to go get paired up with weirdos or whether they just go to Pebble Beach once a year with their dad. But the thing about golf that is I think beyond that sort of individualized experience that's addictive is that for no one is golf a game where they've played it perfectly. You know what I mean? No one's walking away, even from a 59, and they're saying that was perfect. They're saying, look, I know that I made some mistakes, but I can't believe I did it. I can't believe that I overcame my current set of problems that I come to a golf round with. You know, like I feel like I got lost in that, but hang on. Like the idea is almost like just the feeling of hitting a golf shot. I mean, that's what it was for me, right? My first moment of falling in love with golf was the sweet spot.
There's a lot
of other trappings to it, but I think ultimately it's that experience. That's the addictive thing. Because you know what happens right before and after the sweet spot is a moment of complete thoughtlessness. And it's really brief, sadly. The golf swing is way too short. It's only 1 second. But there's that within that 1 second, there's like the thousandth of a second where the ball and the club join perfectly and you don't feel anything. There's no emotion. There's not even really a physical sensation when you do it right. It's just like, it's very dull. And that is a moment that we kind of use as like, you know, when you deal with credit card transactions with a carbon copy, like, we get that carbon copy of a moment of living life and we're like, oh, the ball went straight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it, dude. Like, you can say anything else you want about winged foot, the old course, you know, a private jet, an M4, like, doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't care about the grass. I don't care about the weather. I don't care about who you're with. Because when you hit one good golf shot and then you follow it up with another one, that's it. That's Tiger Woods. That's mm-hmm. Cheyenne Woods. That's BB. That's your son who's never tried golf. That's your grandfather who played it for his entire life.
I've played a long, long time. I've probably had a club in my hand since I was 3 years old. And I don't know if I could ever remember a round of golf where there wasn't at least one single shot that wanted to bring me back to the course the next time. You know, that, and that to me is what's so special about it is you don't have to have a great round. You don't have to be on the best course, whether it's Augusta National or your local municipal course. Something's going to happen during that round that's going to bring you back.
Yeah. And what's great is that occurs on a sliding scale. So whether you're guys like us, whether you're guys that are playing off a +5, or whether you're Rory, you know, the margin for error, like if all you want to do is hit a 3-wood in the fairway in the beginning, you're pumped when you do that. But then after a few years, you want to hit a 3-wood up the right side and you want it to fall in that spot. Okay. And then you want to hit a hybrid. You want to hit that further. You want to, or you want to hit a 4-iron on this par 5. You want to get there in 2 and you want to, and all of a sudden the margin for error gets smaller and smaller. And so the game hasn't changed, but your level of, whatever it is, like you've made the game harder in your own head because you're expecting better and better results, which is exciting.
So I want to kind of go, point a little towards your travels, which obviously you get to travel a lot with what you do, but I want to know, has anything ever happened in those travels or, doing a video or whatever that just was just too wild to make the final cut? And what was it?
Well, I mean, among the Adventures in Golf crew, which is made up of my best friend Stuart and my other really close friend David, we shot an episode in Thailand, and there is an internal knowing. It's sort of like a huge inside joke where all you need to say to one of us is Thailand, and it's sort of like it's not even really an event, and it's not some hangover.
I was just about to say,
it's not that. It's this wonderful experience of living Adventures in Golf, not shooting it, right? We turned the cameras off for a couple of days, and dude, we didn't leave anything in the bag. Like, if there was ever a phrase where you were going for it in life and golf, it was Thailand. I mean, we really did a good thing, which I learned a lot from. We went to Thailand and we shot for 3 days in Bangkok. We got our work done, and as the role of the leader, my idea was, okay, boys, we're going to get the job done, and then we're going to venture out for 4 days with absolutely no plans, and we're just going to see what happens. So we left all of our gear in Bangkok. We got on a one-way ticket of a flight that we had booked the night before, and we showed up in a place where we had no reservations, and we got into a cab and said, drive us to someplace. And he said, okay. And we got there. We played volleyball at sunset for 4 hours. We still didn't have a hotel room. We walked away from there and poached someone's pool. We swam in the pool for like an hour. We ordered drinks. They asked if we wanted to put them on the room. We said no because we don't have one. And they said, we should probably leave. So we left. and then we found a hotel. And then, then we went on more boats, and then we ended up in more islands with no reservations. Then we met other people from Germany. We met women. We met men. We met in-betweens. We met, just everybody. Like, and I still have friends from that trip that we met on boats. And it was just one of those moments in life where you turn around and you're like, how did I get here? And you look at the people you're with, and there's a great answer to your first question, which is, what has golf given me? Golf gave me that.
Yeah. Right?
And we didn't play golf for those 4 days, but we played adventures. Right. And that is sort of a learning experience in my life, is these fuel each other. And so, there was too much there to make the cut. We shot a couple things, like the intro to the Thailand sequence was from that 4-day excursion. There was one moment we were on a wooden boat in the middle of the sea in a lightning storm, watching a shooting star, and it's pouring down rain, and we're in this boat for an hour and a half. And I'm like, are we going to die? And it's like chances are looking good for death tonight. But is this the place where I'd want to go? Honestly, I'd be okay with it if that's the way it was written.
Yeah.
You know?
What's the most beautiful spot on earth when it comes to a golf course? Not necessarily the best course, but just the first thing that comes to your mind, the most beautiful spot.
there's a place in Scotland called Dunbar. It's a golf course. And if you skip the first three holes, you end up on the fourth tee box, which is almost a mirror image of the 18th at Pebble. And incorrectly, this place, Dunbar, is called the Pebble of Scotland. But the more accurate way of describing the situation is Pebble is the Dunbar of America, because mm-hmm. Dunbar is 500 years old or something. That's a special place. I mean, Scotland is filled with them, though. So, you know, to pull away the experience and the weather and the food in your belly and the score in your head, it's hard to differentiate those two. But Dunbar sticks out as a very special, special tee shot in golf.
That's cool. I'll have to check it out. I don't think I've seen that. So
it's also, it fits the bill for me as being not quite front page news.
Yeah. All right. So surely in all your travels, you've got an embarrassing moment or two while filming adventures in golf. Which one or two stand out the most?
I don't really see you as someone getting embarrassed very easily. That's probably why that's kind of tough.
Yeah.
No, I mean, getting naked in front of your crew is tremendously embarrassing.
Yeah, I can tell you struggled with that.
Yeah, but honestly, the good news is it goes away real quick.
Yeah.
You're embarrassed for like probably 90 seconds, and then you're like, hey, I'm walking around naked. Here's my dick. Everyone's hanging out. Like, you can look at it or not. It's weird. It's not normal. But at the same time, I'm just doing my job and no one else is getting naked from my crew. So whatever. Fuck it. You know, like it was weird, but you know, it like everything, dude. I mean, everything's weird until you get used to it. Like golf is weird until you get used to it. Things are embarrassing, right? Like, you know, I was very interested in not being embarrassed at the Waste Management last year when I was playing in the Pro-Am. Luckily, due to some golf god, I avoided embarrassment and I hit the green somehow on 16 after a nice iron shot. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was embarrassed when I messed up Charlie Hoffman's birthday on the podcast, but the irony is we laughed about it. And embarrassment's a funny thing, you know. I mean, one of the things I think about embarrassment is there's a great joke. Like, a CEO is teeing off at a pro-am and he's on the first tee and he swings and misses the ball completely. Everyone's like, oh boy, this is embarrassing. He swings again, misses the ball completely, and you know, I mean, everyone watching is just really, really uncomfortable. Then he swings again and tops the ball and it rolls like 5 feet. The CEO turns around, looks at everybody and says, geez, tough course. And, like, I mean, I think my job as an entertainer is a wonderful opportunity to basically take any theoretically embarrassing opportunity and make a joke out of it. I mean, I can't imagine Bill Murray being embarrassed.
No way. Yeah. No.
Embarrassment means you're not in the present moment.
I have a lot of things that I do that are embarrassing.
Yes, you do.
Wait, speaking of that, like the Charlie Hoffman thing got me thinking, because what was it? So we interviewed Bob Parsons, and who you probably know, created PXG, billionaire. What did I say, David? He was talking about something and I equated it to football, but he wasn't. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. He said a word that sounded like something, and you completely you responded to it. The word that he said and the word that you heard in your brain could not have been two more opposite things. Yeah. And so you responded to what he said laughingly and like you were super engaged in the conversation, but could not have been more confusing to me and Bob. Yeah, Pat does embarrass himself a lot. So maybe embarrassment isn't a real thing for you, Eric, but for some people like Pat, it is. When was the last time golf made you cry? Like actual tears?
Old course. 2 months ago.
Okay.
We were heading out to play the old course. It was on our itinerary for this job we were doing for Visit Scotland, and which you guys obviously know about, wink, wink. we're driving up, and I get a call from a guy who's, we'd been messaging on Instagram about playing the old course. And I said, look, there's a small chance that my friend Stuart is going to be here in time. He wasn't in Scotland yet. Stuart is from Scotland.
Yeah.
He has never played the old course. And so I said, look, there's a small chance that Stuart's going to be in town then. So I just need to be wary of that, because I would feel bad to go play the old course without him. And the guy I was talking to said, oh, well, I don't need to play. I'll get you the tee time, but you guys can go play. I'd much rather have you play with your best friend, and I'll just walk along. And that immediate expression of selflessness hit me, right? That that got me in the car, just in the car. And so then we developed a plan where we were going to surprise Stuart with a round at the old course. And when Stuart arrived to Scotland, I learned that his father was also in Scotland at the time, who, you know, they both live in Australia. So the fact that they were both in Scotland at the same time was a surprise.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half from the old course, they were in Glasgow. So then I got his dad's number and surprised Stuart not only with a round at the old course, which he wasn't expecting. We told him that we were just going to go walk around and we didn't have time to play. So then we said, Stuart, get your clubs. We're going to actually tee off in an hour. And he was like, no way. And I was excited for that. But I also knew that his dad was around the corner with his clubs and that he was going to play with us. And so then Stuart and I walked up to the old course, the first tee. Oh my God, he's so excited. He's so excited. And then we literally come around the corner to the starter shack there, the little starter stand. And Stuart runs smack into his dad. And he goes, what are you doing here? And his dad goes, with his clubs in his hand, he goes, I'm here to play golf. And immediately Stuart just, like, no joke, fell to his knees.
Burst into tears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the other person that hasn't played the old course is Stuart's dad. So here on this Friday afternoon, perfect weather, the sun's going to set late into the evening. You've got more than enough time to play a full round of golf and walk back into the home of golf as the sun is setting. Is me and Stuart and his father and another guy who set it up, who we don't know from anyone. Right? A guy who lives in St. Andrews who just went ahead and made the tee time for us because I don't know why.
Yeah.
Right? And that was one of the more emotional moments in golf. And my father and I have played golf on Father's Day. I played paddle with him on my birthday. Those were all really special, but there's something very special about this moment being at the home of golf with my best friend and his dad.
That's awesome, man. Like that is a beautiful story and picture. That's super cool. By the way, big fan of Stuart. I love the podcast you guys do together. You need to have him on. You need to have him doing more. He's hilarious.
He'll be back soon.
That's cool. I gotta tell you, like, we've listened to you a lot, and I feel like you're a more emotional guy than I am, just based on what I know of you through listening to you and watching you and stuff. The last time I cried, golf made me cry, was and this is the reason why this question came out is because I was prepping for your interview, and I was like, you know what, I got to make sure I'm all caught up on Adventures in Golf. And I watched the last two episodes that you did. I had not seen in Adventures in Golf, and the military one, I don't know why, but there was just some moment where that one, the one guy, I think it was the staff sergeant, talked about his injuries overseas, and that it affected his speech and it affected all this stuff, and that golf has just done so much for him. And that made me kind of choke up, and I don't get like that, you know? And I think going back to, if I can continue to be real sappy here, which, man, our listeners are probably like, what the actual hell is happening on this podcast right now? but it makes me go back to, like, how golf is different than so many other things in life, and vastly different from sports. And I've played a lot of sports. Pat's played a lot of sports growing up. And then, like, why it's so addictive. It's because, like, there's something about people who are connected through golf like the guy in Scotland that knows you from nobody, that sacrificially gives you, you know, gives Stewart a spot to play and sets this whole thing up for no reason. And, you know, like, why, for some reason, it just makes me tear up to hear Staff Sergeant, you know, say that he, you know, he was injured, and then the, you know, the life that golf has given him. Like, there's something that we all share if you are, if you have the bug, like if you've been hooked, that it almost like it's almost like, man, if everyone in the world could love golf like we do, like maybe we'd all be better people. I just think it's just one of those games where it just makes you a better human, and we all understand what golf gives us and those feelings, like you're talking about playing with your dad, you know, Stewart playing with his dad at the home of golf, like that guy in that car that doesn't know Stewart and doesn't know his dad and doesn't care, you know, typically, like, knowing the feeling that, that those human beings would get motivates him to be selfless and do this, right? And like, I can't think of another sport for sure, and not even other things in life other than maybe a person's faith that would produce that same outcome. Golf is such a spiritual game to me. And listening to a story like that just confirms that. It's my Eric Anders Lang moment of the podcast.
you said it perfectly. I mean, it's all right there. And you know, if you play golf and you don't see it that way, that's fine.
All right, so I got three more questions for you. Speaking of spiritual golf moments, as you know, me and Pat are from Augusta, born and raised, live and operate tour junkies out of Augusta. Me and Pat have both been privileged enough to play the Augusta National in our lives. I played it because I was a caddy there for a couple years, so I played on caddy day. Pat has played it as a guest, and we know you got to play it for the first time this year as a just the lucky son of a gun that won the media lottery drawing. What was the one thing that surprised you the most, or maybe was just completely opposite of your preconceived ideas that you had before you played it?
That they didn't have any bucket hats in the pro shop. I was pissed.
Yeah.
I was like, missed opportunity for Eric. No, it was the eighth fairway.
How uphill it is, how brutal it is to walk.
The eighth fairway to me is, I don't know if you go to some golf destinations and the caddy says, oh, right by that tree, there's a little thing underground, and you pull it out and there's some whiskey in there, and it's a secret.
Yeah.
That to me was the eighth fairway altogether, because the eighth fairway is funny because when you walk up the eighth fairway, if you don't pull a Ferris Bueller, aka don't stop and look around every once in a while, you miss what for me was the best place on the golf course, which is this ribbon that unfolds in front of you into, I think, all of Georgia. You've got you're heading towards the highest part of the golf course, the first green, and you've got the all golf underneath you right there. And it's not Amen Corner, and it's not the 10th fairway, and it's not the 18th green. It's not these famous points on the golf course. What you're looking down at is kind of like a dream version of Augusta National Golf Club, which is this place that you have never seen. No one takes photos there. No one walks on that fairway. There's no coverage there. There's no camera angle that looks back up the eighth fairway, and you have to stop and turn around or else you miss it.
Yeah.
So for me, that was remarkable.
All right. This is going to stretch you, I think. Let's say that you never got to play Augusta National. So you never got to play it this past year, and you were never going to get to play it, but in exchange for that, you could allow one person in your life to get to experience it and play it. Who would that person be?
Sure, easy.
Who is it?
Stewart.
Stewart. Oh, I thought you said sure, easy. Stewart.
No, awesome. I mumbled it. Yeah, Stewart. I mean, Stewart and I were together when we went to Augusta the first time. We went and as spectators, went to go see the Masters for Danny Willettier. And, you know, I mean, dude, we just were thrilled. Like we only had one ticket, so we were trading. Like, I went in, cried at Amen Corner, and then he went in an hour later and cried at Amen Corner, and then we got together later and talked about it. We played Augusta Country Club next door, pretended the roars were for us.
I've done that before.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, and he has, obviously a lot of people I know have a devotion for golf, but he has an uncanny devotion for golf and for the Masters in particular. And in a way, I would almost feel bad giving it to him because he might actually literally combust. But yeah, no, it would be Stewart without even, there's no doubt.
All right, last question we have, unless you have anything else you want to talk about. I want to know for our listeners, what is the single most important lasting impression or thought that you would want anyone who listens to your podcast or watches the Adventures in Golf or Eric Anderslang video content? What is the single most important lasting impression or thought you would want anyone to get out of that?
I mean, it's kind of a cop-out, but I think I'd want them to say, huh, I didn't know that. You know, I mean, for example, like your wife, right? Oh, I didn't know golf was cool. Or a kid saying, oh, I didn't know that they played golf in India. Those people seem nice. Or for a person who's been playing golf their entire life and cares about score above all, huh, I didn't know that there was that I could play and actually just target enjoyment as my score. I didn't know private clubs weren't filled with douchebags. I didn't know that whatever, you know,
yeah.
Like the goal is to, I think, educate and inspire around a game that I was pretty lucky to find.
That's awesome. I think you've definitely done that. I feel like you've done that for us. I think you've done that for a lot of people, and it shows up in the success you're having. And we appreciate it, man. We look forward to hanging out again one of these days, hopefully in Augusta. And again, if you're not following Eric at Eric Anders Lang on Instagram and Twitter, subscribe to the podcast. Eric, where are all the places that you can find the podcast? Obviously, I know it's on iTunes. Where else can folks find the podcast?
I think it's like everywhere. I think it's like Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, I don't know. Like it might even go straight in. It might even get mailed to you via snail mail. You might just wake up with a cassette in your mailbox.
Don't listen that way though, because then you can't get credit for the listens, right?
Yeah. Please download it many times on Apple.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I look forward to hanging with you guys again too. It's been a really fun talk. I love what you guys do, and you know, we need to get some hang time.